Advent is a time to reflect, pray, and worship the Christ who came, who comes, and will come again. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December is an Advent devotional booklet called The Jesse Tree. These short daily devotions are filled with symbols, telling the story of Jesus from creation to his second coming. The Jesse Tree is available for only $3. Learn more at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Jesse Tree. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We've had some discussion here on the program about COVID vaccines and, in particular, how they use, whether they use, the cells that are derived from abortions. There is one line of cells that's popular in medicine and research that is used, and it comes from an aborted fetus. Now, the question is, do the new COVID vaccines use those cells? And if so, how? Are there vaccines that don't use cells of aborted fetuses at all? And are there alternatives to the use of these cell lines? We're going to be talking about all of those questions on this Thursday afternoon. Joining us to talk about it, Dr. Tara Sander Lee. She's Senior Fellow and Director of Life Sciences at the Charlotte Lozier Institute. She obtained a PhD in biochemistry from the Medical College of Wisconsin and fellowship training at Harvard Medical School and Boston Children's Hospital. Dr. Lee, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
What is a fetal cell line?
So a fetal cell line is derived from abortion. It is not the same as fetal tissue, though, as you've, I'm sure, heard a lot about. But instead, it's a cell that is taken from an aborted baby, and then those cells are multiplied into many cells of the same kind, and they can be grown indefinitely and further expanded, creating what are called these cell lines that are then sometimes used for science experiments. And these cell lines can be created, frozen, and stored in freezers for years, and then be brought out again decades later for research and experiments.
Why do researchers and drug companies use these cell lines?
Well, a manufacturer makes a choice whether they're going to use or not use a fetal cell line. And often the reason why they choose fetal cell lines is because they're very convenient. They're widely available and easily accessible because historically they have been around for a while. They work as mini cell factories to produce high levels of viral materials and proteins. And these can then be used to make vaccines. They can also be used to make what are called pseudoviruses, which can then be used to study immune response to viruses. So, for example, fetal cell lines derived in the 1960s and 70s were used to create vaccines. In the United States, there are now 9 vaccines that still use these old aborted fetal cell lines to produce vaccines. Some examples are chickenpox, rubella, and hepatitis A. And I just want to make the point that using human fetal cell lines to make vaccines is controversial, even though their use does not require ongoing destruction of unborn children, and the cells have been propagated for decades in the laboratory. That connection to abortion still remains and is of concern to many.
Of the many COVID vaccines being produced right now, do some use these fetal cell lines?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, yes, some of them do. We looked at over 30 of the top vaccine candidates, including those in Operation Warp Speed, to identify those that do or do not use abortion-derived cell lines. In order to carefully analyze which ones made the choice to use fetal cell lines, we broke this down into the 3 main steps or phases in vaccine discovery. The first phase being design, in which those are the preparatory experiments. The second phase being production, and actually we looked at how are these vaccines actually being made, and that's what's actually going to be injected into people. And then the third phase was the testing phase. You know, did they use fetal cell lines to analyze the quality? And this is separate from the manufacturing process. And what we found is that there are 2 vaccines in particular in which the companies have chosen to use fetal cell lines for all 3 phases of development, for the design phase, the production phase and the testing phase. And these include the AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson viral vector-based vaccines. We also found that several of the vaccine candidates in Operation Warp Speed did use these fetal cell lines for the testing phase. In fact, six of them had confirmed use. Two are still undetermined. And so right now, we don't have any confirmation that any avoid fetal cell lines completely at all three stages.
What COVID vaccines are not produced, that second step, using fetal cells?
Yeah, and that's, I think, one of the key questions. And the good news is that many vaccines do not use human fetal cell lines to make or produce the vaccine that will be injected into people. So of the eight vaccines in Operation Warp Speed, we find that, again, many of them, six of them, in fact, do not use fetal cells to produce or make their vaccine. Three of these have chosen a novel system that doesn't use any cells at all to produce their vaccines. These include the Pfizer and the Moderna mRNA vaccines and the Inovio DNA vaccine. There's also three others that have chosen to use an alternative cell line from animals or insects to produce their viral vector vaccine. And that includes Novavax, Merck, and Sanofi.
So explain how these mRNA vaccines, the Moderna and Pfizer ones, how do those actually work?
So these are a new technology which uses mRNA, also referred to it, which stands for messenger RNA, that actually carries the code for the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein. So if you've looked at a picture of the coronavirus, and I know they've been all over, you see those spikes that kind of protrude out from the picture of the virus. Well, that's actually the spike protein, and that's what actually causes infection in human cells. So what these companies have done is that they have synthesized an mRNA sequence that serves as the code for this spike protein. And so it's not a protein itself, but it's like the recipe for making the viral protein. And so once a person is vaccinated with this mRNA sequence, then your own cells are going to serve as the mini factory to make the spike protein. And then your body will produce antibodies against this spike protein so that if you are infected with the native coronavirus, your body will then recognize that spike again on the real virus, and it will mount an immune response and attack that virus using the antibodies that it previously generated from the vaccine against that spike protein. And so what's really novel about this technology is that this mRNA vaccine can be chemically or enzymatically synthesized in the laboratory very easily without the use of cells. They then use lipid nanoparticles to encapsulate the mRNA construct to protect them from degradation and to promote the cellular uptake once the person is vaccinated. And then, as I mentioned, then once vaccinated, then that vaccine will carry the construct that carries the spike RNA. It will produce the spike protein and then induces an immune response. So it's quite an amazing approach and technology.
So in essence, it triggers an immune response in your own cells that allows your body to be prepared for the onslaught of the actual virus.
That's exactly right.
You say that the Moderna and Pfizer mRNA vaccines did do some quality control tests, that third step that you talked about that involved an abortion-derived cell line. Can you explain how this is different from production and whether there are any concerns with this practice?
So when we talk about this testing phase, usually what this means is that these are confirmatory lab tests on the vaccine product. They haven't used these cell lines to produce the product, but they are now doing tests separate from production to analyze the quality of the product, to maybe check. So in the case of like Moderna or Pfizer, they might take that mRNA sequence and verify that it actually produced the protein that they expect it to once the person is actually vaccinated. So they basically confirm that it's going to do what it's going to do, but they use those cells as a test platform. And again, I mentioned earlier, like sometimes they produce these pseudoviruses to test antibody reactivity. But all of this is done separate from production, whereas production is going to be the way that they actually manufacture the final vaccine that's going to be given to people. So Moderna and Pfizer did do some of these tests separate from production, but the actual product that's going to be given to people did not use any cell lines whatsoever. But it's just, it's important to know that the connection with abortion is still there and puts American families in a very difficult position when faced with vaccinating themselves and their families with their firmly held beliefs against abortion. And so for some, there, it might be reason enough for them to second guess the vaccine, no matter if it was produced or tested using these cell lines, and possibly even avoid vaccination altogether.
Tell us about alternative methods of developing and testing vaccines generally that do not employ cell lines from aborted fetuses.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned earlier, manufacturers make the choice of whether to use these cell lines or not. And for as long as fetal cell lines have been in use, and this actually dates all the way back to the 1930s and early studies for polio, and cell lines from alternative sources have been available and capable of accomplishing the same goals. And in fact, most vaccine developers today have already chosen to make most of our current vaccines, such as the flu vaccine, that's just one example, using alternatives. And some of these alternatives include animal cell lines from monkey and hamster, insect cell lines, yeast, and chicken eggs. And what's really important is that sometimes these alternative sources work even better. So the new shingles vaccine is a perfect example. It is made using hamster cell lines, and it is much more efficient and effective at protecting people from disease compared to the older version, which was made with fetal cell lines. So they're actually now asking people that if you've been vaccinated with the older shingles vaccine, you should be revaccinated with a new one so that you're better protected. So going forward, we urge all vaccine developers to use many alternative options that do not involve human fetal cell lines. And this is such an important step towards ensuring that the vaccine is more widely accepted by more people.
Is there any reason why a manufacturer would have to use these abortion-derived cell lines? Is there a circumstance in which they could not produce a drug or a vaccine without that?
No, absolutely not. Just if you look at the COVID vaccine candidates themselves, that especially the manufacturers that have gone out of their way to use the alternatives, they're using similar approaches to make their vaccine as like the AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson one that uses fetal cell lines, but they've chosen to use just an alternative. So that in itself demonstrates that you can use a similar approach to make a vaccine, but you can make the choice to use an alternative that doesn't involve abortion.
Do you have any guidance that you'd like to give to our listeners as they make COVID vaccine decisions for themselves and their families?
Yeah, absolutely. So unfortunately, some of these vaccine developers have unnecessarily put American families in this difficult position by choosing to use human fetal cell lines, whether for production or testing. So we do not take a one-size-fits-all approach to how Americans should respond to the controversial vaccines that use fetal cell lines. Rather, we have provided very accurate and up-to-date resources on our website so that people can be well-informed and when they move forward to make the decision for themselves and their families. So we really encourage people to go to our website at LozierInstitute.org. That's L-O-Z-I-E-R Institute.org. And there you will find several COVID-19 resources, including explaining the mechanism of viral infection and the different approaches that these developers use to produce their vaccines. And probably the most informative moving forward is going to be this updated comprehensive vaccine chart that goes through each of these three phases that I talked about and uses color coding and shapes to show which vaccines do not use abortion-derived cell line or do. And then we also just encourage people to discuss these issues with their physicians and with their faith community so that they're really making the best decision that they feel is best for their family.
Dr. Tara Sander Lee is Senior Fellow and Director of Life Sciences at the Charlotte Lozier Institute. She obtained a PhD in biochemistry from the Medical College of Wisconsin and fellowship training at Harvard Medical School and Boston Children's Hospital. Charlotte Lozier has produced an analysis of COVID-19 vaccine candidates. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Dr. Lee, thank you.
Thank you so much.
It'll be part five of our series, Answering Arguments Against Christianity. Today, the argument that Christianity is anti-science, we'll answer it with Dr. Angus Manoj, past president of the Evangelical Philosophical Society, next.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
In 2020, the world was blindsided. At the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, we quickly refocused on how to best serve the church. Our COVID-19 response team took action, reaching out and listening to our borrowers. In response, we offered a number of financial remedies that allowed our borrowers time to stabilize. We also provided online streaming kits for churches, gift cards for food pantries, financial support for LCMS church workers, and much more. Life's not yet back to normal, and that's why we're still here for you. Visit lcef.org to learn more.
Where was Jesus before the New Testament? What was he doing before his incarnation? Was he just like a pitcher that pitches the first perfect pitch and then was pulled until the end of the game? Of course not. He was active all throughout the scriptures, and this is the question that Dr. Charles Geeshan asks in his article in the December issue of the Lutheran Witness, The Presence of the Son Before Christ. To learn more, visit cph.org/witness to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Pastor Philip Hauser with Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Papillion, Nebraska. We're faithful to the Lutheran confessions as recorded in the Book of Concord, and our services are traditional Eucharistic liturgies in accordance with the ancient texts Saturday evening and Sunday morning. If you're ever in Omaha, come visit us. We're on Lincoln Street between 84th and 96th in Papillion. Our website is lambofgodlcms.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our trek through St. Matthew with the lost brother. Forgiveness, how many times? Teaching about divorce. Is it better not to marry? And Jesus and the children. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.